It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back. This is our Bible study segment today, and Connie Stample is here with us. We're doing day three, or lesson three, Jesus' baptism and temptation. It's right out of Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. Connie, welcome. What are we going to be learning about today?
Well, again, we're going to find what happens when Jesus' ministry actually starts, that inauguration, and then immediately what happens with his temptation. And we'll talk about what that means and how it gives us hope, and just there's many good things to dive into in the Word today. So I'm going to start by reading our scripture passage that we're looking at, Mark 1, 9 to 13. So, 9 says, "In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.'" Verse 12, "The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him." If we go back to the other Gospels, and I have some other passages written out for you from those accounts, there's a lot more detail, a lot more dialogue, a lot more going on. But again, Mark here gives us just the detail, the most important bits, and we're going to kind of look into and see what is going on behind just these words and what the prophets had foretold about some of this. Again, now we're saying in these days Jesus, and so this is beginning of when Jesus is actually ministering. He said he came from Nazareth of Galilee, and that was definitely prophesied that he was going to be called a Nazarene. And remember, Mary and Joseph were from Nazareth. He'd been born in Bethlehem. They'd spent some time in Egypt. And then the scripture, I think in Luke, says that when it was safe for them to return to Israel, then the father Joseph took them back to Nazareth. And so that's where Jesus grew up. And what we're going to find now is that Jesus is going to be baptized by John the Baptist, in the Jordan River. And a question we might ask is, why did Jesus need to be baptized if he didn't sin? And the best answer, I think, from a biblical point of view, is that one, Jesus was identifying with his people because he was going to be their sin bearer. And so he was going through this as just being the person, their representative, because he was, again, going to bear the sins of his people. And then also, I think, to fulfill the will of the Father. There's the Father's will that people turn to him. Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, is identifying with the Father and turning to the Father and saying, "I'm about doing your will, my God." And I'd like us to look at a few verses that just validate, again, that Jesus was without sin, but that he bore our sin. And that's important for us to keep in mind as we go through the rest of Mark's gospel. Here we have our first scripture is from 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, "For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And then Hebrews 4:15 also talks about Jesus being without sin, but also how he was tempted. And remember the last part of what I read, the scripture today also talked about Jesus being tempted. Verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." And then 1 John 3:5 tells us, "You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin." So we've talked again about how Jesus was baptized to fulfill what the Father wanted him to. And then we find out what happens during that baptism as he came out of the water. Verse 10 says, "And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove." I'll just mention that this word "immediately" is a favorite word of Mark. He uses it 42 times in his gospel, and it seems to indicate that what's happening is a consequence of what happened before that. And he's just saying, okay, right away, then next this happened. And it kind of gives his gospel that kind of sense of urgency and things moving along. But anyway, immediately when Jesus came out of the water, Jesus saw the heavens being torn open. And in the prophets, in Isaiah, it talks about God needing to rend the heavens and come down to earth. That's what's happened. God in the flesh is here on earth, and things are changing. Things are not the same. And then what happens is the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove. And so Jesus has the Spirit on him in a special way for the rest of his life on earth, for his ministry of doing the Father's will. And then we have the Father's voice. Verse 11 says, and a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. Note here that we have the Trinity. We've got the Father and the Son and the Spirit. And really, with what's going on with the Father speaking to Jesus here at the baptism, he's authenticating who Jesus is. He's validating who he is. And the words, you are my beloved Son, that's foretold in the Old Testament. And so there's a couple places we're going to go, and we're going to look at what God had said before about this. In Psalm 2, verse 7, which is a Psalm of David, the Lord says, I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you. And there's a sense that was true of David as the king, and David, or God called the kings his son and the people his sons at time. But in a true sense, he was really talking about Jesus coming, Jesus being his eternal son who's never been created. When it says, today I've begotten you, it's really the sense that today you are my son in a different way, because you are my son with human flesh on, and you are the Messiah, this anointed one who's going to accomplish my purposes to save my people. And then we also have the last part of that verse talks about God being pleased with him. And that reminds us of the servant songs in Isaiah, the suffering servant songs, actually. But Isaiah 11:2 says, well, actually, we're going to do Isaiah 42:1 first. It says, behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth justice to the nations. And again, we've got this idea of Jesus being God's servant, and God is pleased with him because he's that perfect servant who always did the Father's will. There's a sense in the Gospel of Mark that Jesus is God's servant, John the Baptist is God's servant, but actually every believer, every follower of Jesus is a servant. And part of what's going to happen as we go through the Gospel of Mark, we're going to see that being one who identifies with Jesus Christ and follows him as his disciple, as his servant, may suffer as he did. And that's just something for us to be aware of, but that goes along with pleasing God and living in a sinful world. I had forgotten to read a different scripture just a little bit before, but this again had to do with the Spirit descending upon Jesus. And this was foretold again in the prophets. And I'm going to read Isaiah 11, verse 2. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So we've come to see how Jesus has a very special ministry, and he's a unique, one-of-a-kind person, fully God, fully man, and how God is going to use him in a big way. And really, in a sense, how God is broken in upon human history. But right away, then we find out that he's going to be tested. Because verse 12 says, the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And so that immediately is there again. And then also this drove means Jesus had a strong moral compulsion. He had to do this. The Spirit guided him to go out into the wilderness. The wilderness really means desert or desolate place. It's a place where there's not food or water. It's not a safe place because there's danger. And throughout scripture, the desert is a place of testing. It's a place of purification. It's a place of trial. And so God uses deserts, you know, for very specific purposes. But probably the one place in scripture where the desert experience, the one we mostly remember is the children of Israel for the 40 years in the desert. This is 40 days in the desert for Jesus. Also, we find out that the story that perhaps most closely ties with this in the Old Testament is the story of David and Goliath, because Goliath was shouting to the armies of Israel saying, your God's nothing, you know, he can't do anything. Isn't there anybody man enough to fight? And so he did that for 40 days. And then David came and slew Goliath with a stone, which is pretty amazing. Anyway, so now we're back to Jesus in the desert. It says verse 13, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. Satan there means adversary. In the other gospel accounts of his temptation, they use the word devil, which means slanderer. This is Jesus being personally tempted by Satan. And knowing Satan, I'm sure he threw everything he had at him, but Jesus resisted and overpowered Satan. He did not give in. And when we read the other gospel accounts, it gives us some more detail about that. And then it also says, and he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. We find the angels ministering to Jesus later on in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so we have a sense that He's protected and cared for by the Father, and the Father will accomplish his will through him as he desires. So we now have the very beginning of Jesus' ministry and his testing. Right now he's overcome Satan, which that's a huge bonus for all of us, because if Satan's overcome, things are good for us.
Yes, and we happen to have that perspective from the end of the story as well, so we know what's to come. But Connie, thank you so much. Connie Stample, our Bible study teacher. Today's notes on our Bible study tab, where you can download this as well as the 10-minute podcast, Jesus's baptism and the temptation from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. It is day 3 or lesson 3. Go and look for those, and we encourage you to download them as well. All right, we're going to take a break, and more on this when we come back.